as we continue to deal with the COVID-19 virus and its effects, I'd like to thank you for joining me this morning with a sermon as we continue in our gospel project. This leads us to Luke chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter where we'll be this morning. As I sit here in a quiet building to preach a sermon to an empty building, I am reminded that there is much that we can learn if we give it our attention. I received a message from my sister who lives in Minnesota a few days ago, and in our text stream, she mentioned that her husband, who has been teaching for approximately 25 years, was at school learning how to teach via distance education. Though he is a well-known and accomplished teacher, he is still attending classes to learn a new skill, so that as the school district he teaches in is coping with the COVID-19 epidemic, he can continue to be an effective teacher. I'm not sure how many times I've read this morning's passage and simply glossed over several of the lessons that Luke is trying to share with his readers and successive audience. So, as I always do, I was preparing for this sermon and sitting and learning at the feet of some who have to share much on this passage through commentaries and other writings. In this case, it all centered in the learning that Jesus is a part of, seen by two very similar comments that Luke makes at the beginning of the passage in Luke 2 that we're going to look at this morning, and one at the end. So, with that said, we'll be at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 40, and this morning I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. It says, "The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. As they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand the statement which he made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." Here, Luke gives us a picture of Jesus' life before his ministry. In two verses, we get approximately 33 years of his life. Between those two verses, we slow down and look at approximately 19 days of his life. That's 4 days to Jerusalem, 8 days of the two festivals, 3 days that Mary and Joseph traveled towards Nazareth, back to Jerusalem, and looking for Jesus, and 4 days back to Nazareth. And in the midst of that time, we slow down even further to look at maybe 3 days, and then to 1 or 2 minutes. So we're going to slow down with Luke and look at these 3 days and then 1 or 2 minutes of Jesus' life. In the 3 days, we see Jesus teaching the teachers of the people. Now, to you and me, we may overlook some of what Luke is telling his audience, and it's because of the way that we speak about things. But Luke says that Jesus was sitting in the midst of the teachers. Now, there has often been said that those people would sit at the feet of the teachers. Sitting at the feet of the teachers is the place of a student. But sitting in the midst of the teachers means that Jesus was asking and answering questions, Luke says, as one of them. Sitting in their midst was identifying that Jesus was acting as one of the teachers. Here's a 12-year-old boy who has stayed in Jerusalem after the end of the feast. The crowds have dwindled, and here he is sitting with the teachers who would often sharpen their skills and discuss things amongst themselves to help them further understand the teaching of the law, the Torah, and of the prophets. And Jesus is sitting there, not as a student listening and trying to simply learn from them, but he is sitting there as one of them, engaging in asking questions and giving answers. He's listening and he's processing. He's giving them answers. I was reminded as I read this of a college, actually a graduate level class that I took several years ago. And the professor's name was Dr. Gary Johnson. And as we got into class the first day, Dr. Johnson said, "Don't call me Dr. Johnson." He said, "Please call me Gary." And at first I thought that was kind of impolite. I had always been taught that if somebody had earned that degree, that they deserved to be recognized as the doctor. But he said to us at that point in time, he said, "We are all learning together. We're all in the process of studying together." Even though he was going to facilitate the class, even though he is the one who had designed and chosen the books that we would read, and he is the one who is going to be giving some lecture, and he is the one who is going to give us some information, he also was asking us to participate, and therefore he believed that he was going to be learning as well. And this is kind of how I see Jesus. Jesus is a 12-year-old boy, and here he is sitting amongst those men who have been studying the scriptures for 30, 40, 50 years, and they are trying to learn from one another, and Jesus just begins to take part in that discussion. And as I read that, I began to realize that what we see in Jesus is something that we need to emulate as well. We need to be in the process of learning. Now, this is why I always encourage people to one, read through the Bible in a year. And if you can't get through the Bible, read through a portion of it. Read through the New Testament. Read through the Old Testament. Read through maybe the Psalms several times in the year, or through the book of Proverbs once a month. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and except for, the months with 30 or the month of February, you can read one a day. But in doing so, you are studying, you're learning from the scriptures, the things that God has to say to you and to me and to us as a group of believers and to the world around us, that there may come a time that we need to share with them. But as I would also encourage you, and that is to look to learn from others. Now, there are some great resources that are available for us that to help us in the studies of Scripture. There are some that are out there that are, I wouldn't bother with. But But we can look and we can learn. And if you need help finding other resources, reach out to one of the elders. Reach out to me. Reach out to somebody who is a trusted leader in the church and say, what are some things that you can give us on, and then give us a subject or give us a book of the Bible and say, what are some good resources to study that? Because just like Jesus sitting at the or sitting in the midst of the teachers, he is sharpening his knowledge and his understanding of the word. We need to be studying the scriptures and studying and honing our ability to use the scriptures. The other thing Luke says about Jesus in this three-day period is that he was awing them with his understanding. They were sitting here listening to this 12-year-old boy, and they were trying to grasp where a 12-year-old boy would get this kind of understanding of the scriptures. Now, we don't know exactly why, but a good likelihood is, first of all, the questions he was asking. He was probably asking some questions that weren't normal for a 12-year-old boy, and asking them in a way that was coherent, and asking them in a way that really challenged the teachers of the law, the teachers of the people, to stop and consider what it is that he's asking, and then to ponder what the appropriate answer would be. How do we answer that question? And there are times when those questions are the questions that drive the teachers to be better teachers. You know, I've had in my time in ministry, I've had people ask me those kinds of questions. And I try to give the answers, but many times I'm forced to study before I give an accurate answer. And sometimes I've had to go back and tell somebody, you know, I said something as an answer just off the top of my head, but after further study, either my answer didn't go far enough or my answer was needing to be changed because it really wasn't correct. And when Jesus was awing those people around him with the questions he was asking, he was showing that he was wise beyond his years. Probably in awing them with his understanding, he was also in the answers that he was giving. You know, it's said that he was sitting in their midst, and Luke said that he was answering some of their questions. And a 12-year-old boy being able to answer the questions of the learned and the highly educated people there in the temple, he was, you know, talking to not just the teacher, but he was talking to the teachers of the teachers of the teacher. He was talking to the people who were at the highest rank and the highest level of their religious understanding, more than likely, as he was asking and answering questions there in the temple courts. And in giving answers to their questions, he was showing his wisdom and his understanding beyond that should be noted for a 12-year-old boy. In fact, even then, as it is today, 12-year-olds weren't supposed to be held accountable for the having the law. But by age 13, when they turned 13, they were supposed to be have a portion of the Old Testament memorized, and they were supposed to be able to answer certain questions about what the law meant. But here is Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, not simply answering the questions that a 13-year-old was expected to answer, but he was answering questions that were well beyond his years and his scope of training, or even the scope of training that a 13-year-old would be expected to have. But what we see is that this wasn't a unique thing in the ministry of Jesus. We see this throughout his ministry. It begins in looking at the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, Mark records this. It says that they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus was teaching with a different level of understanding than even the educated people, the scribes of his day. And then down a little farther in Mark chapter 1, verse 27, it says that they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this teaching? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus is teaching, again, he's teaching at a different level than even the most educated people in his day. And it was bringing awe and amazement to those who heard him. And then later in his ministry, in Mark chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the listeners were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him and such miracles as these performed by his hands?'" You know, what is the wisdom? Where did he get this learning that gives him the ability to teach in a way that is different and greater than those that we've been turning to for our education? It's seen as we look forward throughout ministry, throughout the scriptures, following Jesus' death and resurrection and the sending out of the 12 and the beginning of the church. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, referring to Peter and John, it says that they were unschooled and uneducated men, that they were not the ones who would be thought to have the wisdom and understanding of the scriptures, yet because of the time that they had spent with Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them, here are two unschooled and uneducated men who are giving a great teaching that is even bringing the leaders of the people to question their teaching, and not questioning it as, is it right or is it wrong, but saying, where did these men learn these things? They were awing, the disciples were awing them with their understanding. And it's the same thing that is said later by Paul to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, Be diligent to present yourself as approved to God, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You know, elsewhere, Paul tells Timothy not to let people look down on him because of his youth. And what Paul is saying is that in learning, that we should get to the point where we can accurately handle the word of God, where our learning, our understanding, our education, the things that we are learning gives us the opportunity to teach and to share what it is we've learned. Luke prepares his readers and us for Jesus' interactions with the teachers and leaders throughout Jesus' ministry, as well as their appraisal of his message as he looks through these 3 days of Jesus' life. Now we're going to slow down even more with Luke, and we're going to look at a few minutes, one or 2 minutes of Jesus' life. And in this minute or two, what we see is Jesus teaching the teachers of the Son. Jesus is going to teach those who are there to teach him. He's going to have this interaction with his mother as the lead person questioning him, who he's going to answer. And as we see Jesus doing this, we see this interaction between Mary asking the question, "Why have you done this?" and Jesus' answer. What we see in Jesus' answer is that he has a very good understanding of who he is. You know, he had a good understanding of his identity. Now, I'm not talking about, here is Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, who lives in Nazareth. But what I'm speaking about is the fact that he says, I must be about my Father's business. And in saying Father there, he's referring not to Joseph, who has taken him as his son and is raising him as his son, who would be his earthly father, maybe as an adopted son, but rather we're talking about his identity as God's son. The fact that you go back to what Luke said at the Annunciation to Mary, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have a son and he will be called the Son of God. That Jesus, in a unique way, is both the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is both human, yes, and he understands that, but he gives us the beginning of his understanding that he realizes that he is God in the flesh, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we don't know how he knows. We don't understand. We don't see how he knows. Maybe Mary told him. Maybe, you know, he's 12 years old. Maybe Mary has had some conversations with Jesus and explained things to him. You know, we know that Luke says that she was pondering things in her heart. And here after this, it says that she kept these things in her heart. She's keeping them there and retelling the story, at least to herself. And in retelling the story, she's putting it in her memory for one, but two, I think she's trying to understand what it all means and come to grips with it. And so maybe Mary, in trying to keep the story alive within her memory, has told it to Jesus. Maybe this is just the Holy Spirit at work in him, and or the God nature within him, that as he has studied the scriptures up to this point in time, as he has gone to the temple, which looks like had been Mary and Joseph's habit of going at least to the Passover and unleavened bread, that Jesus probably went with them. Maybe in the 12 years of his life, he's experienced and he's begun to understand from what he's heard and what is going on around him. Maybe he understands that God is his Father in a unique way. But whatever the case, however Jesus knew about this, as he comes to Mary, or actually as Mary comes to him and he responds to her question, he responds to her respectfully. He doesn't become arrogant. He isn't boisterous and loud and disrespectful, but he respectfully reminds Mary that God is his Father. He respectfully says, this is what I have come to do. And I think we need to remember that as part of the church, part of the body of Christ and the family of God, that we are children of the King. And Paul says this well in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 21, but we don't have time to look at that today. You might want to look at that again. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. But we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves that we are children of God. And that will impact how we live. It should impact how we speak to other people. It should impact and help us to desire to know more about him and how he wants us to live. And that in turn gives us the opportunity to share that message with others. And that's the second thing we see in what Jesus says to his mother, and that is that he has not just an understanding of his identity, but he has an understanding of his mission. He looks to Mary and he says to her, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? That I needed to be doing the things that God had sent me here to do. And some of that is to teach people about God. Yes, some of that is more fully going to be his death and his resurrection that Jesus came because he came to seek and save, he says, that which was lost. But part of it is the teaching, instructing, and trying to turn people's hearts back to God so that they will fully understand that he is going to be the Messiah, that he is the anointed one that God sent to bring about God's good will. But we also see his understanding of his mission in the fact that he was willing to go with Mary and Joseph and to live under their authority until the appropriate time came. And Luke says this as we began in verse 40 and then ends in 52, saying that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor among God and men. He is living under the authority of Mary and Joseph, and his willingness to go back with them instead of continuing to stay in the temple shows that he understands beyond his years his mission and what it means. But we don't just see it there. We see it throughout his ministry. We see that Jesus has this cognitive understanding of the time and the purpose of his ministry. It begins in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where Jesus and his disciples are guests at this wedding feast in Cana, and Mary comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, they're out of wine, do something about it." And Jesus looks and says, "You know, my time is not yet. The hour has not come for me to begin to work." Jesus understood that there was a timing that needed to be fulfilled in doing the ministry that God had sent him to do. Later, again in the book of John, this time in chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, we see Jesus' brothers coming to him, and they don't believe the message that he's been sharing. They don't believe that he is the Son of God. They don't believe that he is the Messiah. But they also understand that the leaders of the people don't accept him either. And so they try to get him to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Booths. But Jesus looks at them and tells them, "You go up to Jerusalem. My hour has not come." That the time for me to go to Jerusalem and fulfill and finish my work, well, it hasn't come. I'm not ready, or the timing isn't correct for me to go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And also, if we're to look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we see that Jesus begins, it says there, to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer and die, and he would rise on the third day. There comes a point in the ministry of Jesus where he moves from teaching about the kingdom and what the kingdom looks like, from teaching how we're called to live and to serve God faithfully, to teaching his disciples about what his mission and his purpose is, that he is going to go to Jerusalem, that once he gets there, he will suffer. And we know that Jesus suffered, and we know that he died. He said that he would die, and he's hung on a cross outside of the gates of Jerusalem. He was buried in a tomb, and Jesus said, "On the third day, I will rise again." And we know that he did. And so Jesus has this realization of who he is and what his mission is. And in fulfilling that mission, he isn't ready to start any sooner than he's supposed to. And so Jesus goes home with Mary and Joseph, and he lives under their authority, and he continues to learn, and he continues to grow spiritually and as a person. And we need to understand as well what our mission is. What our mission is at any given moment. And those things change from time to time. While our mission is always got one goal, how we're going to go about fulfilling it will change at different times. Here's Jesus. He's teaching in the temple. That's part of his mission. Going home and learning with under the authority of Mary and Joseph. That's part of his learning. That's part of his mission. Jesus begins his mission, and he does certain miracles at certain points in time. He goes certain places and meets with certain people at certain times. And then at the appropriate time, he begins to head up towards Jerusalem, because that is what the mission requires of him. And we too, we need to understand that while our goal and our mission is to make disciples of all the nations, and in making disciples to baptize them and to teach them everything that Jesus taught and commanded us, that is our ultimate mission, that how that works out is different from time to time. And studying the scriptures and learning helps us to identify how we fulfill that mission in different ways with different roles at different times. In slowing down to a moment in Jesus' life, Luke prepares us for the ministry of Jesus as the Son of God and his doing God's will over man's will and even his own will. You know, Jesus, in slowing down to the life of Jesus and showing us his interaction with Mary and his willingness to go home with her and with Joseph to Nazareth, shows us that Jesus is willing to do what God's will is. And so Luke closes his account of this trip of Jesus' family to Jerusalem for the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread with the very similar words to how he opened. He says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Even though he was the Son of God, he continued to learn." As we are all being forced to slow down because of the COVID-19 shelter-in-place order, you know, we've been given a great opportunity to spend some time studying the Word of God. And not that this should be the only time that we study the Word of God, but it is just one opportunity that we have been given where things have slowed down and we can focus for a period of time on the Word of God so that we understand it better and we can live it out better and we can share that message with greater authority. And like Jesus who continued to learn and continued to increase in wisdom and stature, you know, we need to grow in our understandings of the scriptures and who we are in Christ. God bless you. Stay safe and stay healthy.